This podcast is brought to you by Northern Motor Group. You are listening to FNR Football Nation Radio.
Joining us now is the Herald Sun's Dave Davutovic. Dave, it's great to have you on the show.
Good evening, guys.
Dave, we'll get to the A-League semi-final action shortly, but unfortunately it was overshadowed by an off-field circumstance. I'm sure you're well up to date with what's happened with the Rory Carroll situation, but we'd just love your thoughts on the topic.
Yeah, I mean, what can you say? It's another example of overzealous policing. From, I guess, cops as well as security officials. I mean, Rory, the guy who I don't know personally, but I've had a fair bit to do with or had a fair few interactions with him on social media. And, he seemed like a very, honest guy who loves his football. And, having the disabled child yesterday the lack of common sense in that situation from some of the officials, the evidence that we've seen thus far is pretty extraordinary and really disappointing. And I think football as a game needs to really stand up to everyone involved in such policing, I guess.
And as we know, this over-policing and a draconian force of, as many people have mentioned it, is nothing new, especially in the A-League. But is this one in particular a greater line in the sand moment for Australian football?
Well, it is. I mean, any time there's kids involved, I mean, you have to be obviously, common sense should prevail in such circumstances. But when there's a, disabled child involved as well, I mean, fair dinkum. I can't believe we're talking about it. It's beyond a joke. The police, New South Wales police, and the officials out at Jubilee Oval have a bit more evidence to back up their, what they did. I mean, from what we've seen thus far, it was just a ridiculous circumstance. I can't believe what we've witnessed, obviously, in this day and age of, social media and phones and all that. It wasn't one person's word against another. I mean, we've seen a fair bit of evidence. I've seen a fair bit of it on social media. And, I mean, it's just appalling. I mean, obviously, the police, for the most part, do a fantastic job. And like anything, it probably tends to be a few bad eggs. But, what we saw last night, I mean, fair dinkum, that's just inexcusable.
And, Dave, on the pitch, you must have been equally as shocked to see Melbourne Victory lose 6-1 to Sydney FC.
Yeah, wasn't expecting that at all. That was pretty extraordinary stuff. I mean, Kevin Musk had said he wasn't expecting it leading into the game, and I didn't see it coming at all. I mean, they played some decent football, got some good results, got a good win last week. They rested, a number of their big guns back here from the Asian Champions League trip, and maybe that was the problem. Maybe the fact that the team was, disjointed, disconnected for the most part of the week. Whilst the guys were back here and still going through their paces, it would have been a very, different, unique week for them. So, perhaps it sort of didn't really pan out for them as they would have hoped. And, just the lack of intensity, with which Melbourne Victory played was most concerning. And, we saw last week, the comebacks are pretty common in football, and you expected Victory to come at some stage. They had a little patch sort of just after the half time where they had a good little period and had the penalty appeal for Kenny Atchew, but really beyond that it was a really, really lackluster performance, which you don't expect any time, FFA Cup regular season, let alone in a cutthroat semi-final against their arch enemy away.
They certainly saved their worst performance of the season to the most important game. We're, of course, speaking with the Herald Sun's David Davidovich around the A-League semi-finals. And, David, we know Melbourne Victory is not a club known for making rash, knee-jerk reactions, but what now? They've got quite a few players out of contract. What's the next 6 to 12 months look like for Melbourne Victory?
Yeah, I mean, I guess the next 6 to 12 months will be determined by the next, you know, I guess 2 to 3 weeks. You know, but possibly a little longer. Obviously, some of the incomings won't be determined until sort of later down the track. But yeah, certainly the next few weeks we'll have a better idea of you know, which players from the, you know, current team might stay. You know, Keisuke Honda, Carl Valeri obviously leaving. Valeri's announced that announced his retirement. Honda pretty much announced that he will be departing on Fox Sports last week. So, you know, a few other players that are out of contract. Costa Barbarousis, James Troisi. You know, I'm not sure what's going to happen with them. I wouldn't be surprised to see James Troisi perhaps, you know, move clubs. He's had a good season. He was a marquee player this year, obviously, in a salary cap environment. It does make it challenging for clubs to, you know, to retain players. Ola Toivonen stitched up for next year, so you would expect him to, I guess, see through that contract. Yeah, but look, I think if you had have asked me this question a week ago, I would have said, you know, the bulk of this team probably stays and they, you know, they continue on and move forward. But I reckon last night's result really... I wouldn't say throws planning out the window, but I reckon everyone down at Victory, from the board down to Kevin Muscat, you know, and some players are certainly thinking about their futures a little bit differently at the moment. It's not to say Kevin Muscat's future is, you know, he's under threat. I mean, he's contracted, and I don't, you know, that game for me last night was an aberration. Like that, you did not see that coming. It was just so out of character. So that for me says that, you know, I think there's no reason for any sort of drastic action, but they certainly need to review what went wrong. And as I said, I think, you know, maybe the circumstance of last week with 11 players staying behind, maybe they would have done things a little bit differently. How? I don't know. I mean, you know, I guess the most logical thing would have been for, you know, the entire squad to go over to Korea and train together. But again, you know, finances and all sorts of things come into the equation there. And it was a, you know, a 24-hour door-to-door trip, which makes it really tough. So you understand why they did it. The only other one is maybe Carl Valeri. You know, I thought he, if not start, should have come on earlier. Comes on, you know, I think 68th minute after the fourth goal went down. You know, I think that game needed a sub at half-time from Melbourne Victory's viewpoint. And considering the lacklustre nature of their players' performance, I think a bit of mongrel in midfield from skipper Carl Valeri certainly, you know, could have helped trigger a turnaround. Whether they would have been able to, you know, pull three goals back, I doubt it. It was a mountain to climb. But, yeah, it was just really listless.
And contrastingly, what do you think this also says about Steve Corica's first reign as head coach?
Yeah, and look, let's be honest. I've spent the first, you know, 2-3 minutes talking about how poor Victory were. Absolute credit to Sydney FC. You know, they were superb. They've been superb all season. Steve Corica has, you know, he's had massive shoes to fill with Graham Arnold, you know, replacing him, obviously gone to the Socceroos, had great success with, you know, with Sydney FC for a long time. But, you know, Corica hasn't put a foot wrong. You know, it's always tough replacing a big guy. Sort of reminds me of when, you know, when Kevin Muscat replaced Ange Postecoglou back in 2013-14. They're obviously some challenging times. But, yeah, both guys have, you know, both guys passed their first tests. And Corica's in a grand final, which is huge for him.
And we saw Adam Lafondra kicked his 23rd goal in all competitions last night, which is an incredible achievement. He's one of those players brought in to replace Bobo and Mijewski. We've got the Doolan Warren medal coming up quite shortly. Do you see Adam Lafondra as a potential winner of the award or even a smoky?
Yeah, I reckon he'll be up there. I'm not sure he'll win it, but I think part of the problem is he's got so many other guys who sort of, you know, nick votes from him. So, you know, they've got so many match winners there in Milos Ninkovic. Alex Brosk had a really good season too. You know, O'Neill and Bralante always thereabouts. So, you know, some steady guys at the back. So, yeah, you know, he obviously scored a lot of goals. But, you know, I think Ninkovic had another fantastic season. Diego Castro, Roy Krishna, they were the three that were sort of vying for the Alex Tobin medal for Fox Sports. So you'd think that they're the ones who, you know, be up the top.
And Sydney FC do take on Perth Glory in the A-League Grand Final. Can you pick an early winner yet, Dave?
Yeah, the top two. So it's a good Grand Final, you know, the perfect Grand Final, I guess. And I read a few hours ago now that 12,000 tickets had already been sold to, I think it was Football Family. I reckon they'll go close to filling Optus Stadium over in Perth. I mean, a fantastic occasion. Obviously, it was a dramatic win from Perth Glory on Friday, although they did nearly stumble. But really sets up for a massive game. And considering Glory finished on top, considering they've got, you know, home ground advantage and, you know, they've played pretty well against Sydney FC. It's been fairly even this year, although the last time they played, it was a very, you know, almost a B team for Perth Glory. So I think have to go with Perth at the moment. But, yeah, there's still a few days to go. And I think Sydney FC will give it a real crack.
Well, Dave, we'll certainly hold you to that prediction. And Perth Glory, of course, coming off an incredible match against Adelaide United. But we will speak to you next Monday after the A-League Grand Final. So thank you very much for coming on this evening.
Thanks, guys.